We're CJMQ 88.9 FM, and I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale. And today we have Jerry Cutting in the booth with us. And Jerry is the president of Townshipers Association. So welcome, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much for having me today. I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, we're pleased to have you. It's always a pleasure to have you. Now, you have a few different topics you wanted to address today. And the first one is Townshipers Festival.
Yes. Well, I want to make it clear to everybody that what people have been anticipating for the last year is actually going to happen now, is that T-Day in a new form with a new title is back, and it's going to be held in Richmond at the Richmond Regional School on the 29th of this month. So we're a little bit later than usual, but I think we have some very interesting things to offer to all those people who've been waiting now for a year. The name, I think, signals something different, and that's we're trying to be more in tune with the concept that we see in a lot of communities now of having a festival. And this festival is all about being a townshiper. And I know that probably 20 years from now, people will still be thinking we're holding a tea day, and that's perfectly all right. The important thing is that there is a day that is there for townshipers to come and celebrate with our French-speaking friends and from people all over the province who want to come and share that day with us. So we're very pleased to be able to offer this in full collaboration with the school board and making their facility available. And also we're getting a helping hand from the hospital board because there are a certain number of people who would show up every tea day. And what they were looking for is information. And as you know, there would be booths with all kinds of information from everything from employment to what's going on in some of the libraries to how do you access certain types of health care. So we are very pleased that that is going to be again there. And by the fact that we're going to be using a school, what we're going to also place is a great deal of emphasis on what younger people can offer. And we know we have some enormously talented young people, and they'll be playing music and singing songs and providing a whole host of activities, I think, to entertain everybody. So I think in that sense that what we hope to be able to do, also because we have secured with the school board that for the next 3 years, there will in fact be a Townshipers Festival. Richmond this year, Lennoxville next year, and Cowansville in the following year. So this takes an enormous burden off the planning process where we're scrambling to try and find a place to hold it, trying to find partners. So now we've secured it, and it gives a certain sense of stability to that planning and financing problem that all of us must face in any organization.
Okay, that sounds really wonderful. And like you said, gives people some security too, so everybody can look forward to it for at least the next 3 years.
Well, the thing that we must all cross our fingers mm-hmm. for is the weather.
It's true.
And what we know from the previous days is that a nice fall day where the weather is warm, sun is shining, it brings people out. If, on the other hand, it's turning towards that what we might call not necessarily unseasonal, but unwelcomed weather, well, that has to be dealt with also. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the factors that we're really going to have to measure very carefully is that will our new brand bring people out? Will they be having the kind of good time that they've had in the past? And what we tried to do is match up what people have said they really like about Townshipers Day with something brand new that will, I think, and hopefully appeal to those people that said, you know, we want something new. We want a fresh look. So the festival aspect of it, hopefully we can have something that pleases everybody, no matter what your age may be.
Well, that sounds good. And the fact that it's at the school too, it's better for everybody, because if the weather isn't so great, well, there's a large space inside the school.
Well, we need a lot of indoor space anyway, mm-hmm. because there are a number of activities that if there isn't a way of providing a building, we have to rent a tent.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how you look at it, being in a tent is nice if you're camping,
mm-hmm.
but it's not necessarily the best alternative in many ways for some of the activities that we have planned. But we will have even access to auditoriums, so that some of the presentations will be, I think, in very well set for what is going to happen.
Okay, well, that sounds really good. Sounds like a great plan.
Well, I hope so. But mm-hmm. I think all of us, too, must be very, very conscious that we're in the middle of a political campaign to elect a new government. And one of the things that we have to be really, really conscious of is that in many of the ridings, guess what? It's the English vote that can finally decide who the winner is going to be. And with sovereignty off the table, I think more than any time in our recent past, meaning perhaps the last 50 or so years, we want to hear from the politicians, what are you going to do for us? What are you going to do about education? What are you going to do about health care? What are you going to do about youth employment? Will you keep the Secretariat for English Language Services? And there's a lot, I think, that we really need to press those candidates on. I'm not here to pitch any particular party, but what I'm here to pitch more than anything else is that we have a certain power. A certain power that lots of other ridings don't have in the province, but here in the townships, we do have that capacity to make a real difference. And in that sense, what I'm asking each and every one of your listeners to really consider is that your vote counts. It's a fundamental part of democracy. You know, my mom and dad fought in the Second World War to make sure that we would have a democracy that we could exercise. And we need to do it time and time again. So what we have to look at, though, are what are some of the main issues that I think people ought to be very conscious of when they're looking at the platforms? We know that it took the Liberal government almost 4 years before it reactivated the access committees for English language services. The Provincial Access Committee is now up and running. And it's something that's very, very important, because they're going to set out a set of rules that in each of the regions, there will have to then be a regional access committee established, and they will give definition to what services must be available in English. And we must remember that there is a constitutional right to receive services in English. And I think over the last 4 years, we've been very, very fortunate, I think, in some of the areas where the hospitals and the social service agencies have made a real effort to try and provide English language access. But this is something I think that we must not let slip away from us. And so I think that it's very important to press the candidates. Are you going to make sure that access to health services is, in fact, not just maintained, but in many, many instances, it has to be improved? Mental health services in our area are so, so poorly staffed. And I don't mean that in the sense that people aren't qualified. What I mean to say is there just isn't enough personnel. So when all of the politicians now are talking about reinvestment, we have to see reinvestment in mental health. We have to see reinvestment in those areas that touch on access to services that are very, very difficult to obtain. Access to health care for autistic children is a major concern, I think, not just in our area, but any area. Access for the elderly. I think this is something that we must be very, very conscious of, is that we are an aging population. And in that respect, we are going to put a lot more demands on the health service. And we're also going to put a lot more demands on long-term care, which, if you want to have a, might describe as a happy end of career, a happy transition into retirement, and then at the time when you might have to actually go into a care facility, then what you want to be assured of is that you will have care in English. And this is something else. We need to press the politicians on it, because this is investment time. They need to make investments now in order to be able to accommodate those kinds of concerns that are coming up in the future. So what we need to have are some positive changes so that when you press 9 for English language service, we don't want to hear someone come on and say in very clear French, comment est-ce que je peux vous aider? What we want to hear is, how may I help you? Most people know that if you start then to speak in English, there will be a transition, but this should be a clear sign that you matter as an English person. For the first time ever, we had an English language debate where the four leaders of the main parties really took off the gloves and gave each other a few good knocks on the chin. And I think what we need and what we have to say is that thank you. Because this shows a measure of respect that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And what we do know is that many of the politicians are also quite well aware our vote does count. So we don't need to take that mission lightly at all. And what we need to say to politicians, you want my vote, you come and earn it. And that means an education, what we have to have, we have to have a lot more attention to the kinds of programs that are going to promote the kind of education that's going to keep young people in our area. And that means I think there's two main issues that we have to address. We need more technical programs. We need more professional programs. And that may require special funding. And there has to be a component in that education that will give French language training that will permit young people to be able to get a job in many contexts where they may be working a lot of the time in French. And I think what we're also looking at is that we have to have programs that are really innovative in the sense that they will encourage employers to hire people who are perhaps not as proficient in the French language as they may like, but have access to paid for mentoring so that the employee can get language training on the job. And we all know the best way to learn any language is to actually have to practice it, and that you're there practicing the trade that you've learned and getting instruction on how to be able to deliver your service in a more proficient French language. And we at Townshippers are very, very, very happy that we've been able to obtain funding to work in collaboration with the Centre Intérieur Guéri, the hospital board, to be able to put in place a mentoring program for people who are coming in and looking at getting employment and also being mentored. I talked about this the last time we had an interview, and now things are starting to get up and running. So I think we should be very happy. And what we need are a lot more of these kinds of programs. So the big areas where I think most English-speaking people are very concerned about: healthcare, education, and we also must be very conscious that the future of school boards is back on the table. And there is one of the major parties that's talking about the modification of school boards so that there would no longer be elected school boards. So this right away, I think, should raise a red flag for the English-speaking population. In many, many areas of the province, this is the last English institution that is there. And it's in the Constitution. We have a constitutional right to have elected school boards. So this is something that you need to press the politicians on. Are you going to keep boards? If so, are you going to allow them then to perform the function that they're supposed to be doing? And in many respects, the English language school boards have a great deal of authority over what happens. But over the years, I think what we've seen is that the government has said, well, you must supply the students with the program that has been authorized by the province, and if you don't, we simply won't fund you. So, I think we've seen a lot of compromises, but there's still a lot that I think boards can do. With all that discussion that we've had recently about the history course, where we know the English population was sort of made out to be, we're all rich and we all have chauffeurs and we live in mansions. I think a look outside and a simple talk with your neighbors will probably confirm that we haven't seen too many people driving around in their Bentleys recently. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is coming home, and we must be very sure that we have a history course that actually represents the enormous contribution we've made to Quebec society and Canadian society, to our own townships.
Exactly.
So that's something that I'd like everyone to be aware of. Another one of the main political parties is saying, well, the way in which we could provide young English speakers with a better knowledge of French is that they would have to complete their last session if they're in an English language cégep, in a French language cégep, in an English language university, in a French language university. This one, I think, is another one that we've got to be very, very cautious of, because it sounds an awful lot like what happened with residential schools, where native people found that the government had a fine solution for just about everything. We're going to take your kids, we're going to send them off someplace else for their education. Now, do young people want to be forced to go to another cégep, study in another language, or another university and study in another language? I think it's one thing if there's a free choice to do that, which might be a very good idea in many instances, but if it's going to force people to do that, I think the ultimate outcome is that young people, instead of going to English language and French and English language universities, are simply going to leave the province even at an earlier age. So I think this is something we've got to be very, very cautious of. It's not, I think, in the best interest of our community at all. And when it comes to immigration, I think, again, you know, we've got to look at this in another context. Quebec, for such a long time, was always kind of struggling with employment and tagging along. We have the strongest economy in Canada. We have the lowest unemployment rate. Things are going well. And we need immigrants to come in. One of the factors I think that we need to press for is that in order to make sure that our schools are maintained, we need to press for the possibility of allowing a certain number of immigrants access to English language education. And this is something, again, it's a fundamental part of any people is the right then to integrate people into their own communities. And if it's done in a way in which the immigrant population also learns French, then I think we find that there is probably a very interesting solution there. But a red flag there when we talk about immigration, because there are lots of proposals out there. One of them I find is again, something that as English speakers, we might find, on the surface, it might sound okay. And that is the idea that after 3 years, what we'll do is administer a French test to immigrants. And if they don't pass, then ask the Canadian government to send them someplace else, either back to their native home or to another place in Canada. And I think whenever we start testing people for their level of French, whether it be immigrant or not, I'm a bit concerned that if we allow this to happen, the next thing will be to test all kinds of other populations, English, perhaps English speakers, to see if we have enough French, and what's going to happen then. I don't want to sound paranoid, but I think this is an issue that we must be very, very cautious about. So that, in a certain sense, then, what I'm asking people to do, and I'm coming back and I'm saying it over and over again, we have the power of the vote. And I've heard people, and I even heard some interviews this morning on the radio, where people were saying, well, I'm not even going to bother to vote. You know, it's a ho-hum campaign and it's just the same old thing. No, it's not. It's not the same old thing. Sovereignty isn't there. But if we don't come out and vote and say what we are wanting and what we are needing and how we'd like to see things go, the best way to do it is with a vote. And if you don't vote, then in the final analysis, you're not a part of the game anymore. So please, if you want to exercise your right as a full participant in Canadian democracy, that's what we have to do. So in that sense, you know, I think we're looking at a very exciting time, very exciting fall coming up. New things are coming back. We're about to establish, you know, a new way of looking at Townshipers Festival Day. We're looking at a brand new government that is coming into play. And being English speakers, I think we are all very conscious that in terms of looking at our community, that we need to be able to have strong advocacy on in order to argue what we want, how we want it, and in what way it needs to be delivered. So the secretariat that was put in place by this the government, the Liberal government, is something that is not enshrined in law. It exists because of an order in council. And if you're not aware of how that works, it could also disappear with an order in council. So if we want to have a branch of government that's dedicated specifically to English language affairs, we must press the politicians with a question. Will you enshrine the secretariat in law? Yes or no? Now, in the English language debate, they all said yes, and not long after, there were other reports coming out to the effect, oh, well, it's just a smoke and mirrors kind of department. Well, it's not. It's something that needs to grow. It's something that needs to be used, and it's something that I think we can use to our benefit as an English language population. In Ontario, there is, in fact, a branch of government that's responsible for Francophone affairs. And it's been in place now for, I think, about 20 years. It's very active, it's very dynamic, and it works on behalf of the French population to help them in navigating a lot of the kinds of programs or the kinds of issues that come up on a day-to-day basis. So I think we need to say, Secretariat, you got to keep it, guys. No matter who you are, no matter what color is the party, we need an English language secretariat that's enshrined in law. So I think I've been going on about the three main issues that I think are very important for us in this election, and three main issues that I think health, education, and the secretariat. So I think on the political side, you probably heard enough of me, and I don't want to sound like a politician myself.
Well, it's certainly given us a lot of thoughts. Very interesting. I personally could listen to you all day. It's just an eye-opener of what we have to be aware of. I think people need to be told, you know, you have to be aware of this and that too, because a lot of people just go on with their daily lives and they don't think outside the box.
Well, I would agree. You know, what happens on a day-to-day basis, we're all so preoccupied. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got things to do in our work. We've got things to do around the house, and we've got, you know, kids are doing this, or, you know, your parents are doing that. Mm-hmm. And then you're called upon to go and exercise a vote. And often I think people just vote on the basis of, well, I heard something on the radio. And I think whenever politicians are speaking and their livelihood depends upon us voting for them, it's a rare occasion when we can say, okay, at least I can pick who is going to then not keep their promises after the election. So that's maybe a cynical way of looking at it, but I think it comes down to that. And I know that there's also certain traditions. I mean, I know that there's certain, in certain families, they are described as red or blue, mostly in the federal or you know, green or whatever color that. But what I think we all have to come to realize is that whether you're voting as a knee-jerk reaction or whether you're voting because you have really spent hours poring over, you know, what has been happening and you watched the three debates and you now have come to a conclusion, I decide because. And I think that's the big issue, is that you can decide. And I think for many, many English-speaking people, what it was in the last election, it's a choice between a party that is referendum bound or a party that is federally bound. And what was in between, you know, what they were going to do for us became secondary. The most important thing for English speakers, because we are profoundly, really profoundly attached to Canada. If you ask an English speaker, you know, what are you? I think 9.5 out of 10 are going to tell you, I'm a Canadian. And where do you live? I live in Quebec. I'm a Quebecer too. I'm a Canadian and I'm a Quebecois. And I'm proud to be. And I'm a townshiper. And we can be proud of being all three. So, but when you ask someone, okay, what's in your passport? I'm a Canadian. And in that respect, then, I think many, many English speakers found themselves thinking, well, gosh, I don't even need to evaluate everything. I don't want a Quebec that's separate from Canada. It's an easy choice. This time around, what I'm openly saying is that do the evaluations. You may still end up saying, well, I like the party that seems to be the most federalist. The others are saying they're nationalists. And I'm not quite sure what that means. But if you want to do the job well, press them. Is that the program you want in this area? Is that the program you want in that area? And for the first time in a long, long time, I think we can have that larger capacity to ask questions and pointed questions so that no one can take our vote for granted. And we got to hold them to that.
Exactly. It's time to make our votes count, to do a bit of research and stop thinking that we don't matter, our vote doesn't matter.
It does. With Quebec Community Groups Network, we did an analysis and we found that, in fact, there's 26 ridings across the province where, in fact, the English vote does count. It is deciding. And there are many other ridings where the English vote, if it's a very tight race, can again be the deciding factor. I know that if you go back to the election that was held where the Marois government came in for a two-year period, there were a lot of English speakers that didn't vote. They were upset and tired with the Liberal Party, and so instead of voting for another party, what they did is they just stayed home. And guess what? We got a party that was dedicated to setting forth another referendum. And then when the election was held where the Liberal government was put into place, English speakers came out in huge numbers. A very, very large percentage of English speakers showed up and voted because they didn't want to have another referendum. Well, no party is going to hold a referendum, they say. But Do we want to just put someone in place because they have in the past been a federal party? I think that certainly can be a very strong consideration. But I think we need to get absolute 100% squeeze on all of them. So that, yes, don't take us for granted. We want this. And that's why we need to show up. I think it may not be, as some people have, well, there's no referendum, so I'm not even going to bother. I would ask you, please reflect upon it. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm starting again to sound like a form of politician. but what I want people to do is just show up and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Make your decision. Yeah,
exactly. I think you're saying to people to be aware of what's going on and that your vote does count, which is
yes.
So true.
And if you wait until election day, one thing I do know is that on the 29th, at Townshipers Festival, there's going to be a slew of politicians there trying to get your vote. So you can put the questions that you like right to them. Or, if you prefer, just skirt around them. But I think opportunities that are presented need to be used.
Mm-hmm. That is a great opportunity.
Oh, yes. And there's one thing for sure. There's some of those politicians out there in our area
mm-hmm.
that really, really know we make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Very important.
Well, it's nice to be loved.
You brought up some extremely important parts, Jerry.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much. And I think, you know, I've said just about everything that I would want to say, and I've probably said it too many times over and over, so I hope your listeners won't tune me out just because I've been saying it too much.
Oh, it's very interesting, and we thank you for coming in and talking to us and invite you to come in again.
And again, hope to see you on the 29th.
For sure. Thanks very much, Jerry.
Thank you.